Hello and welcome to the Hall of Fame Video Game Podcast, starring Matt Levy and Mike Staub. We love video games and have embarked on a journey to index the greatest video games of all time into our very own Hall of Fame. Here's the show. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us in 2024 for another great episode of the Hall of Fame Video Game Podcast. We're starting off this year giving our input, takes, previews on what we expect to see this year in gaming, and maybe some predictions, some speculations on what we'd like to see, what we expect to see from the three major game companies. So let's start with saying, obviously, 2023 was an amazing banner year for games. Some people say, already put it up there, is the best game in year in video gaming. It's definitely in the conversation, and that just speaks to how strong the year was. So here we are in 2024 thinking, all right, are we here to pick up the crumbs, or are we going to have another great year? And I tend to lead on the latter. I think it's going to be another great year. Now, I don't think we're going to get another Tears of the Kingdom, but I think we could get big games from a lot of big franchises and a lot of big surprises as well, because there's just so many game developers out there right now and a lot of stuff that's been in production, that's been in development for so long. So let's go into 2024 as far as what we know is coming out already, what we expect already on the calendar. So first you have Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, which is a kind of return to form for Prince of Persia, back to its 2D roots, more platforming and action versus the 3D series that we got during the GameCube 360 eras. So I think this will be an interesting one. I don't think it's going to knock people their socks off. I don't think this is going to be some amazing change that's going to be a Game of the Year contender, but I think it's going to be a solid game. After that, we are expected to get Tekken 8. Tekken 8 is also supposed to be a pretty big game for the Tekken series, kind of like Street Fighter was last year. I think Tekken 8 will be the biggest Tekken yet, and it looks to be, as far as what I've seen thus far, this could bring Tekken back to the forefront of fighting games. So I'm really excited to see what Tekken 8 will do. Some of the early Tekken games, 2 and 3 in particular, were two of my favorite fighting games. So definitely looking forward to that one. Those are the standout games for me in January. There were a few others. In February, the standout game for me will be Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which we don't get till the end of the month. But Final Fantasy VII Remake was almost my game of the decade. I mean, it's up there with Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey. It's up there. I'm expecting more great things. The Final Fantasy VII story goes to some crazy places. We get more time with some of our favorite characters and some new characters that are beloved in the Final Fantasy VII world. So I'm excited for that. I can dust off my PS5 and do some more gaming on it in February. We're also supposed to get, in February, the Mario versus Donkey Kong, which is kind of like a remaster slash remake of the old portable game. That's coming out mid-February. We're getting a collection of the Tomb Raider games, the early ones remastered. Sure, that's fine. I think the other big, big release for me personally is Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, but I'm so skeptical. This game is made by Rocksteady, who made the amazing Batman Arkham trilogy, which is the Asylum, City, and Night titles. That excludes the Origin game, which is underrated. That was made by Montreal. But this game, it's went in a completely different direction. It isn't a focused online game. It does put a backseat to story, I think, even though there is a good amount of a single player content and story, they say it's putting a focus on more like a large arena shooter where you're just flying all over the map, trying to rack up damage points. It's not for me. And I'm hoping there's something here for me because Rocksteady is one of my favorite developers of the last 10, 15 years. So I'd love to see them put out another great game, but I'm really on the side of skeptics. So those are the big releases for February from me. In March, we start to know a little bit less of games that are available. Princess Peach Showtime is coming out on the Switch, and that's giving Princess Peach her own 3D adventure. It looks like a really interesting game from what we've seen. Everything's kind of like on a stage, the Showtime theme, and looks like she's got some different abilities and costumes, and it looks like it could be a lot of fun. And then the return of the Dragon's Dogma series. We're getting the sequel, long awaited, at the end of March as well. So those were the two big March releases for me. We are getting a South Park game, which I'm a big fan of the South Park show and games. This one is not like the last two RPGs. It's a little bit different. So I'm excited to see what that comes to be. In April, we get the return of the game Braid, which was one of my favorites from the Xbox 360 Live, Xbox Live games. It was really interesting in terms of the platforming, the ability to move through time and speed. It was really unique at its time, and I'd like to see what they do with that, bringing it back again. And then through the rest of the year, we don't really have much. Past April, which you start getting into quarter two, three of the year, we don't really know exact release dates. We just have an idea that we know some other big games are coming, but less when exactly they're coming out. So one I'm looking at is Hades 2. It's supposed to be coming out middle of next year in early access. I don't know what shape it's going to release in on Steam, on the PC. So I'll be looking for that. Obviously, Hades 1 was a huge, huge game across all platforms. It won a lot of Game of the Years. The next big game that is supposed to be coming out in 2024 that we don't have an exact release date on would be Hollow Knight Silksong. And fans of Hollow Knight think it's almost a joke at this point because it's supposed to be coming out, then coming out, then Xbox did an event that everything shown comes out within the year. And here we are now, a year and a half, almost 2 years out from that video, and still no release date or info when it's coming. But that's a tremendous release for a lot of fans. Luigi's Mansion 2 is getting an HD remaster in the summer. I actually missed out on that one. It was a portable game, so I'd love to play it. After playing Luigi's Mansion 3 and having an excellent time, I'd love to return to another Luigi's Mansion game for a few hours. Beyond that, we have Paper Mario Thousand Year Door coming to the Switch. This is almost unanimously the Paper Mario game to play. People say on the GameCube this was the best. I played a few hours, but I think I was distracted at that time when I was playing GameCube games to really sit and play an RPG of this type. So I probably didn't give it enough time and attention, but I've since then played the Wii Paper Mario start to finish, the one on the Wii U, and then also now on the Switch, I've played them all. So I'm excited to see what's supposed to be the best in the series. So that's another exciting game that is on the calendar. We are supposed to get some Star Wars games, the big one being Outlaws. That's a Ubisoft game, and I'm not really sure, again, what this game will end up being. We saw some footage. I don't know if it's almost like a Mass Effect type. It looks like there's some different gameplay elements in the game, but this is going to be a big AAA experience, and the impressions so far look really strong, but it looks like it's going to be towards the end of 2024 with no release date yet in sight. So for me, it really starts and stops with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth from the games we know. I guarantee Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo have games that are probably somewhat done, whether it's Metroid Prime 2 and 3 HD, Twilight Princess Wind Waker HD, Metroid Prime 4. Again, these are other games that might pop up out of nowhere. Sony might have a Ghost of Tsushima sequel. Microsoft might have Fable. These are all things that are rumbling, and that would definitely be something that would hop onto my most anticipated list for 2024. But right now, as it stands, those are the games we know about, and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is on top of that list. So let's talk about some games that of those that I'm really looking forward to playing. Outside of the games we know about, I do want to catch up my back catalog. I did not get to play Baldur's Gate 3 last year, which was in a lot of news outlets. A lot of fans thought it was their game of the year. It seems like it'd be something that would be up my alley if I really gave it the time. It looks like it's going to be that's a 100-hour plus game. So I definitely want to spend some time with it and understand why the game is so great. And I want to look back on some other games that I missed out on this year. There was a master collection, as they called it, I believe, of the Konami Metal Gear Solid games, and I'd love to go back and spend time with each of those and see, because some of them I spent some time with on the original platforms and some of them I did not spend as much time with. So I'd like to understand why this series built upon itself and became considered one of the best franchises in gaming. So those are some games I missed out on. In addition to, I still have to finish my Final Fantasy playthrough. It's been like a life journey to play them all, and I've only have Final Fantasy 5 and 6 left to play and beat, besides the newest 16, which I plan on getting to. But those are on my radar to do hopefully in quarter one of this year, is to play through Final Fantasy 5 and 6. So as far as predictions and guessing what we're going to have next year, where that's a thing that I can put out 30 predictions, and if one or two come through, I would be pretty lucky, because you really don't know. You get some inside info, but after that, when it comes to, let's say, Capcom, are we getting more Resident Evil or Street Fighter? I mean, odds are we're probably going to get more Resident Evil. Is 5 going to be ready anytime soon? We don't know. We just got Street Fighter, so unless they're going to do DLC, they have other franchises like Mega Man that can dip tap into that well. It'd be great to get some Mega Man. But Capcom has been really strong in terms of their game releases and profitability. They've been on a winning streak for what seems like 5, 6, 7 years now. They're having a really good time. And I like to think they have a good plan for 2024. So I'd be interested to see what Capcom does. Square Enix, we know a lot of what they're doing. They have a lot of things that they're bringing out. Besides Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, they always have other games they're working on, smaller and larger. So I'm sure we'll see plenty from them in 2024, whether it's bigger releases, smaller releases, because VII Rebirth comes out in February. They're not going to sit and do nothing the rest of the year. And then we get to Microsoft. I talked earlier about Fable. Fable is one of my favorite franchises. It's silly. It's fun. Generally, the stories have some good intentions to them and some good twists. And it's been a long time. These were all from the 360 era, and they were really good games. I was really high on all three of them. And some had strengths and weaknesses over one another. But the fact that we're going to get a Fable game from the creators of the last Forza, the creators of the last Forza game, I mean, that's out there, and I love it. Let's see what they can do in a different playground, a different sandbox. As far as what else Microsoft has, Gears, there's always rumors of a new Gears or a remaster, a remake of the Gears games. Will we get more Forza? Always a chance. We're always getting Forza, whether it's Motorsport or Horizon. And then Halo. Are they just going to stick to Infinite? I heard the game is getting better and better, but it's a shame that it wasn't all there to start. You know, we are getting these kind of drip feeds of Halo content, and now maybe it is the game it was supposed to be 2 years ago. But you'd think Microsoft, with all the developers they bought, would have more, you know, ammunition, more stuff, more left in the tank, that they should have games coming out more rapidly and building a bit of an arsenal. So I'm concerned, but also looking forward to seeing what they have for this year. Things like Hi-Fi Rush that popped up out of nowhere was really neat. On the Sony side, we got Spider-Man 2 this past year. We got God of War, got a DLC, a free DLC. So what's next for them? You know, we are going to get a Ghost of Tsushima 2. Are they working on some of their old franchises, bringing back any of the forgotten favorites? There's rumors of a Twisted Metal at one point. Would they go back to get some more Twisted Metal games going now that the show is out and is popular? I don't know. So I'd be interested to see what Sony has in their state of plays coming out this year. Predictions-wise from Sony, I would guess we're going to get some significant Spider-Man 2 DLC besides just the new game plus. I don't think they're just going to leave well enough behind. That game probably sold 10 million plus copies. If I had to guess, it's probably one of the best attachment rates on the PS5. So I don't think they're going to abandon that. I think if they can get an extra $10, $20 out of a person and give more content to the game so people don't trade it in and sell it, I think that'll happen. But as far as where Sony goes from here, I don't know what their next big game is, but they're working on. Are they going to abandon Horizon Zero Dawn? Are they going to do more of their single-player games? Or are they going to put a focus on multiplayer, which we've heard recently that Sony wants to focus on platform games, service, and platform-type games? I'd be interested to see. I definitely will. And then I always find the conversation of, will Xbox or Sony have a pro console come out this year? Because it's been a while now. I mean, we're several years, 4+ years into their console's life cycle, even though they still feel new and fresh. I wouldn't be surprised. PlayStation did its mini, quote unquote. It's still pretty large as I'm looking at my PS5 Slim. I'd be interested to see, does Xbox follow up with a kind of a mid-generation upgrade? I think that'd be great for them. I think that'd be smart to get people interested in Xbox again, and maybe do they abandon a CD drive and do all streaming on the next one? I don't know. I don't know what direction Microsoft's going to go. They've kind of curveballed with Game Pass and saying that it's more of a platform than an actual hardware. So that's going to be interesting. And then will Sony do a PS5 Pro? Because they did that with the PS4. And I think it's a pretty good success. I think it makes the platform life cycle longer, but I think it gets complicated with game development because now you got to make on multiple SKUs. You got to make the game cater to all of the different consoles out there. And then lastly, we have the Switch 2, which we have no confirmation of. We have no inside info saying it's coming this year, but it seems like all signs are leading to a Switch 2 coming out sometime this year. The much rumored Switch Pro we thought we'd get 2-3 years ago seemed to have abandoned during the whole ship shortage. And we're probably getting a full-on Switch 2. And I think they'll do everything the same. The Switch was a massive hit. I think it'll be a dockable console that's also portable. I think we'll be able to do the same Nintendo Online, Switch Online service and carry our accounts. And I'm hoping all the games are backwards compatible. I think if they deliver on all of that, they'll be able to sell a lot of units. But the question's going to be, will they continue to make the games backwards compatible to Switch 1? Will they make you buy the Switch 2 versions? That's going to be hard for consumers that have kids that have all these games, and now they want to buy a new console. Are the parents going to understand they don't work on certain consoles? It gets confusing. So I'd be interested to see, does Nintendo go in their own direction like they sometimes do and just think weird, wacky, crazy with VR or motion controls or something super silly? Or do they stick to something that really worked really well here? I think the Wii to Wii U was, we all admit, not the best. I think the Wii U in concept was great and some of the games on it were great, but it failed as a console. There's no question. And now from the Switch, do you pivot or do you stick to what worked and keep it exactly the same? Because we know 360 worked and they pivoted to Xbox One, which is more of a multimedia with the Xbox Kinect. Didn't work. The Kinect was not a great concept and it was not a great product peripheral. And once they abandon it, I think they start to pick up a little ground. So it'll be interesting to see when you have major, major success, like the PS4 did, Sony said, we're going to do the same thing. It's boring, but smart. And I'm hoping Switch does the same thing again. So my first prediction for Nintendo, besides the Switch 2, which I would say probably fall, I'd love to see it earlier, but fall is probably the expected time in August, September, October timeframe. But it's been 7+ years since Mario Odyssey. That's a long time. We were able to get another Zelda game in that amount of time, and those games are a bit more ambitious, if you ask me. So I think there's a new 3D Mario, and I think it's launching with the console, which I don't always think is the best idea because you're kind of limiting who's going to buy it. If you only have 5 or 10 million Switch 2s that sell in a certain time frame, then you're going to limit how many you can sell. You're only going to sell an attachment rate of 20, 25, 30% would be good. If you release a 3D Mario game on a Switch and a Switch 2, maybe you can sell 30 or 40 million of them, a sequel to Mario Odyssey or something different. I'd like to think that be at launch or launch window. Metroid Prime 2 or 3 seems likely if Metroid Prime 4 is not ready. I'm curious. They want to do it once per life cycle. Would you get a new Smash Brothers, a new Mario Kart within the first year of the new Switch 2? I just don't know where they go because Smash and Mario Kart are like the perfect iterations of those games. How do you build upon the perfect Smash game and the perfect Mario Kart game? If it's anything less than what they offered last time, it's going to feel like half of what you had previously. I just don't see where you go from there. Animal Crossing is a shoo-in. I mean, that game sold gangbusters during the pandemic, and they've now built themselves a clientele that are definitely going to pick up a sequel. So I think a Mario 3D game, whether it's Mario Odyssey 2 or something different, a Smash Ultimate 2, whatever the next game is, Mario Kart 9 or 10, whatever they name it, and another Animal Crossing game, I think those are a given. Metroid Prime 4, we know is in production for the last half a dozen years or plus. Those seem likely. Will we get Star Fox, F-Zero, anything else from that? I don't know. Will we get any other Samus, like a Samus Returns 3DS remaster? Maybe Xenoblade X from the Wii U, a version of that this year. Very few games left from the Wii U era, possibly. I'd love to see the Wind Waker, Twilight Princess collection that everyone for like 3 years says existed. I think those would all be exciting releases, but you never know with Nintendo. This year, they're dipping back in the well a lot. A lot of the games, Luigi's Mansion, Metroid Prime 2, if it comes, Paper Mario, these are all remake remasters. Donkey Kong is Mario versus Donkey Kong as well. As far as the Switch Online, I think there's a lot they can do. If they want to up the service and get people still to stay on it, there's so many games they're still missing from the N64, even from the Game Boy Advance and the Game Boy Color games. I think there's a lot they can add there. So I think we're going to get another 10, 15, 20 games throughout 2024. And they have a lot of good ones that I think will get people excited. And then I think on the non-gaming side of Nintendo, you want to see what they do as far as a Mario movie 2, what the Zelda movie is. Did we get any more info on that in the next 6 months to a year through this calendar year? I think so. I wouldn't be surprised if we just get a Mario movie 2 poster, if we get maybe some casting info by the end of the year of Zelda. I think so. If it's been in development and it's in development, you'd think they want to start getting a cast together. But that's kind of what I see thus far. I would love to see more of Nintendo's non-main series. We get a lot of Kirby, a lot of Yoshi action, but I'd love to see the Star Foxes, the F-Zeros, the Donkey Kongs. Why can't they get some core releases? And I think maybe this is the year, but there's a lot of stuff that they have that could find its way onto Switch 1 or Switch 2 in 2024. So that's my 2024 preview, my predictions, my speculations. I'm hoping the game industry is in a healthy place for a lot of layoffs this year. E3 is done. It seems like that you get a lot of freelancers for a game and then they lay them off as soon as the game is over. And I hope that's not the case. I hope it become a more stable place where people can continue to make great games and work at a company for a long time, but it just doesn't seem like that's the case. Those were my takes. I hope you guys found it interesting, found it enjoyable. Hope you guys stay tuned because Mike, my partner in crime here on the podcast, has his preview of 2024. Haven't listened to it yet. So you guys will be listening in real time, as they say. And you'll tell me if it's similar to mine, if he has different anticipated games on his list and different predictions on his list. So guys, thank you so much. And here's Mike.
Hey everyone, it's Mike. And Matt and I had some scheduling conflicts this week, so we couldn't get together and do like a standard episode that you would be used to. So in this instance, we wanted to do kind of a look ahead towards 2024. And we talked about our game of the year in the last episode. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Matt and I actually saw eye to eye on that. But it's always nice at the beginning of a year to look forward to the year that may be. And 2024 has a lot of potential, I think. 2023 is clearly one of the best years in recent memory. It's up there with 2017, but it seems like every year now is really, really strong. So I wanted to look forward and talk about what I'm excited for 2024, as well as, you know, what do I think the big three are going to be doing in 2024. So to start it off, the games I'm most excited for in 2024 so far, I'm definitely excited for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I think Matt and I have talked about Final Fantasy VII Remake ad nauseum to no end, where I guess our audience is probably a little tired about it at this point, but it is a game that we both love so very much, and it's a game that we're both very, very excited to play. Rebirth is something that just looks fantastic. Everything I see from it just looks unbelievably good and incredible. And that comes out at the end of February, so that's really early on. We really don't know too much what's coming out later in the year, but we know that the beginning of the year actually starts pretty stacked right from the get-go, because a month before Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, we get Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which is a sequel to Yakuza Like a Dragon, which was an incredible turn-based role-playing game that came out at the end of the PS4 generation and was ported to the PS5 and PC and everywhere else. And I loved Yakuza Like a Dragon. I thought it was a really nice change to take a action beat-em-up kind of series and then shift it over to being a classic-style turn-based RPG kind of based off of the old Dragon Quest games. I'm really excited about Infinite Wealth because it looks like it ties together the Yakuza characters from the original six games, or the original seven games if you count Zero, and Yakuza Like a Dragon, and it looks like it's going to just be a really fun, goofy, wacky, turn-based role-playing game, just like a Dragon was. I mean, I've seen clips where you're fighting like a big diseased shark. I think you go on like a vacation. It seems like it's really, really cool. the beginning of February, we get Persona 3 Reloaded, and it's one of those things where I never really got to play Persona 3 to the fullest. I played a bit of it on the PS2, but now that we're getting Persona 3 kind of remade for the modern era, I'm really excited for that as well. That's going to be a PlayStation game, I believe. It might be multi-platform. No word on it being on the Switch yet, but we'll have more to say about that later. As we go through the year, you know, Nintendo's got a couple of things coming out. It's definitely slim in terms of what's releasing on the Switch moving forward, because I think we believe that the Switch is kind of on its way out. Princess Peach Showtime hits in March. We have Mario versus Donkey Kong that hits in February. There is Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, a game I've never fully played on the GameCube that is being released on Switch, which I also believe is probably early in the year. It looks like it's already got an ESRB rating. It looks like it's got everything going for it. That might actually be a shadow drop sometime in January or maybe early February. And as we move on forward through the year, you know, nothing really stands out as being that exciting right now because we're so early on. But you have games like Black Myth Wukong that looks really good. You've got Star Wars Outlaws, which I'm actually very, very excited about. I think, you know, I complain a lot on this show about open world RPGs and where they're going, but I do think that Star Wars Outlaws, with its vibe, with its feel, with everything I've seen about it, I think this could be a really, really special game. And Ubisoft is good at making open worlds. I think that their Assassin's Creed games sometimes are a little bland, but I think with the Star Wars license and kind of this criminal underworld kind of vibe, I think that this could be a really solid game, and that's something I'm really excited about. I don't believe that has a release date yet, but we know that it's coming out sometime in 2024. I would assume, based on everything, that it's probably coming out at the fall kind of holiday season. Also, Hollow Knight Silksong. Hollow Knight's one of my favorite indie games. It's an incredible Metroidvania. It's very difficult. It's a lot of fun. It's one of those games that we've been waiting on for a long, long time, and, you know, we're not sure when we're going to get it. We've seen it a bit actually show up, whether it be a Nintendo Directs or Sony Directs or things like that. But those to me are kind of like the biggest games that I'm the most excited for moving forward into 2024. And I will joke right now saying that, you know, I think that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is already going to be at the top of my Game of the Year list. I know that's me being a little biased, but I'm a huge Final Fantasy VII fan. I'm a huge Final Fantasy fan. And I was just so taken with Final Fantasy VII Remake that it was really nice to see that they're kind of continuing with that style, and the gameplay looks fantastic. I'm also very excited, and this is a little bit of a niche kind of title, but the Mana series is coming back, and it's not in remake form. Visions of Mana comes out sometime in 2024, and that looks like it continues with kind of the design choices that Square Enix had made with the Trials of Mana remake, which came out a few years ago. I believe that was a 2020 game, and it looks like it continues in that kind of series and that kind of style, that kind of visual gameplay style as well. So I'm excited for that. I'm also excited, but we don't know anything yet. Team Asano, which is a team within Square Enix who is famous for making games like Octopath Traveler, Triangle Strategy, Bravely Default, the remake to Live Alive, says that they have, I think, a handful of games coming out in 2024. And I'm excited to see what those are. I'm not going to predict and say like, oh, we're getting this, we're getting that. I would kind of think that one of those games is probably Bravely Default 3, since Bravely Default 2 is about 3 years old at this point, and I imagine they'll use a similar engine. But it also means we could get some interesting remakes, because Square's remake game has been fantastic lately, as we saw with the Live Alive remake, as we saw with Star Ocean 2, as we saw with the remaster of Tactics Ogre. I think in this instance, I think we might see a remake from Team Asano, maybe something like Chrono Trigger or Secret of Mana. I think that it's time for that. Maybe Final Fantasy Tactics, if things all work out how I want them to. But I think that's what we're going to see out of Team Asano. Probably at least one or two original games and possibly one or two remakes based on what Square has them working on. Obviously a big year for Square this year with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, especially coming off the heels of Final Fantasy XVI, which I thought was actually a very, very good action role-playing game. I actually enjoyed that game quite a bit and actually liked it more as I played it towards the end of the year. As for predictions moving forward for all of the big three, I don't know if Sony and Microsoft are really going to do anything crazy this year. I know we're getting the remastered version of The Last of Us Part 2, which seems kind of weird, being that The Last of Us Part 2 was a PlayStation 4 game, and now it's kind of getting the full-on remaster. And I, you know, it's kind of a symptom of the world that we live in right now, where games are so expensive that they kind of patch the gaps with remakes and remasters that seem kind of frivolous. But with PlayStation and Sony and the PlayStation 5, the PlayStation 5 has been out for a bunch of years now. I think it's close to 3 years old at this point, maybe even a little bit older than that. I really do think we will get some kind of PlayStation 5 upgrade, probably a PS5 Pro. Whether that releases in 2024, 2025, I'm not sure, but I think we'll definitely hear about it this year. And I think we can also expect some news about one of the big Sony first party series, whether that's an Uncharted, or I don't know if we're going to get more Last of Us, but there's definitely stuff from the teams that make like Days Gone, Horizon, maybe some DLC, maybe some remasters, maybe a remake of the first Horizon. We might see stuff like that. And I think maybe we'll see a PlayStation 5 Pro, which will probably launch at like $500 or $600, and create a more pro model that probably allows us to, I don't know, play games at 4K and at 60 frames a second, maybe, after all this time, something that, you know, should be standard on the PS5. I do think that this might be a little bit more of a quiet year for Sony. I think they got some really big exclusives early in the year, and I think we're going to have to wait a little to see if they throw any first-party stuff our way. But I do think we'll get some announcements for big PlayStation games coming out in the next few years. I think we'll probably finally see something from Wolverine. I think that there will be some Spider-Man 2 DLC. I think we'll get all that stuff to kind of fill in the gaps as the year goes on. As for Xbox, Xbox is quiet. I don't really know. It's hard for me to predict what Xbox is going to do, because it seems like they don't do anything. Halo, I don't know. Forza, I don't know. It's just a very difficult company to predict, because often I don't know what's going on at the Xbox camp. They're so kind of entrenched in this weird kind of, are we a PC company now, or are we a console company? And with Game Pass and all these things coming out and all these acquisitions, you know, I'm never quite sure exactly what Microsoft is coming out with. I'll say this, I would love to see, you know, maybe another Halo, or maybe some sort of expansion to Halo Infinite. I would love to see some stuff from the Blizzard side of things now that that deal has gone through. But other than that, I'm really unsure. I'm really unsure, and really just kind of trying to figure out what Microsoft is going to do over the coming years, because a lot of stuff they're doing, I'm not sure if I'm all that interested in it. And last for Nintendo, I think we all know what's going to happen with Nintendo in 2024. I think the big prediction, and honestly, every day that goes by in 2024 so far, there seems to be another rumor. But we know that a Switch 2 is in development. Whether they call it the Switch 2, the Super Switch, the Switch Advance, the Switch Plus, I don't know. But we know that the successor to the Switch is definitely in the works. It was played at Gamescom, I believe, in 2023 by developers. A lot of news leaked out of that it kind of had the ability to kind of cheat and kind of put ray tracing on there, make games look like they were very high quality PS4 games running on, as Nintendo always does, older technology. Now, the big questions about the Switch 2 is, will it be backwards compatible? I think it should be. I think that's the right option. I think that's the way to go, especially because there's so many Switches out in the world right now. There's so many Switch games that are out in the world. I think it would just be a shot in the foot if they decided to not include backwards compatibility. I know people say that it's difficult to do and it's this, that, or the other thing, but if anyone can figure out how to make it work, Nintendo can, with, you know, very inexpensive chips. I do feel like backwards compatibility kind of has to be a thing, especially because they want your Nintendo account to kind of go along with you as you make your way from the Switch onward. The Switch 2 will launch in 2024. When? I'm not sure. You can make a case for the spring, because Nintendo has done a lot of big tentpole releases in the spring over the last handful of years, and the Switch was kind of like a spring release as well. So we might see that. We might see a spring release for the Nintendo Switch 2, or the Super Switch, whatever you want to call it. I think that the console kind of has to launch with some sort of killer app. I think we will get a 3D Mario at launch, for sure. There will be some degree of a 3D Mario game, whether it's this open world Mario game we've been hearing about or something else. I think that's definitely what they're looking to do. I also think it'll probably launch with Mario Kart 9, because Mario Kart, as we've seen with Mario Kart 8, is just a game that sells and sells and sells and sells and sells throughout the lifetime of the console. I believe that Mario Kart 8 is now up to like 60 million units sold, which is absolutely incredible when you realize there's like 120 million Switches out there. So that means 50% of people who have a Switch have Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is absolutely crazy. It's an incredible number. And very few companies can actually match that in terms of attach rate. So I do think there will be a Mario Kart 9 released very soon to launch of whatever Nintendo's next thing is. I also think it'd be really smart for them within their first year to also release an Animal Crossing game. I don't think we'll get a Zelda game early on, unless it's some sort of 2D remake by a company like Grezzo. But I don't think we will get a Zelda game. If anything, we will get a HD or a deluxe edition of Tears of the Kingdom for whatever this new console is. While I do think and hope that the next Switch has backwards compatibility on it, I also think that Nintendo will try to double dip. There is a rumor going around that there will be a Bayonetta 3 pack that is exclusive to the Switch 2 and with better visuals and runs the games better. I think they could do that with Zelda as well, just release a more expensive version of Zelda. Well, I guess the game's already $70, but re-release it on the Switch 2 with all the total upgrades, even though the Switch 2, if it has backwards compatibility, should make your original Switch games run a little better. The Switch 2 will have some things like that too, to kind of also bridge the gap like they did with the Switch, with kind of monthly releases over the course of like the first 2 years of the console's life cycle. And I also think that Nintendo, you know, it's clearly kind of taken their foot off the gas when it comes to big releases on Switch, so I don't think we'll see much more of that. Industry insiders that have been talking about this as of late have said that it is going to be a more iterative console. It won't be a quote-unquote revolution. This will be a console that kind of does this what the Switch does, but more and better. And I think for Nintendo, I think that's a good thing. I know people like to see when Nintendo takes these big swings and big risks and all that stuff, and I say, that's fine, do it in your software. Obviously, the Wii U was a big risk, and I think they ran into a lot of problems because the Wii U was a big risk, both on a marketing standpoint and a naming standpoint. It didn't really have the third-party support. The gamepad really didn't do much or offer much for people to work with. So I think it's smart for Nintendo to kind of continue their handheld mentality here and iterate upon that like you would with the DS and the 3DS or the Game Boy and the Game Boy Advance and have the backwards compatibility, but also do some really interesting things with your IP. An open world Mario game is a great example of that. I would love to see more time dabbled in ports and remakes of stuff like Paper Mario 1000 Eudora, which we will see early in 2024, I think. I would love to see Mario and Luigi kind of get a nod as well. I really like that series. Also, what's interesting is that Monolith Soft, who makes the Xenoblade games, has just put out a hiring for someone who has experience with third-person action games or action games in general. So we might see another Xenoblade soon after the launch of whatever Switch 2 is. I do think we will get some sort of Smash Brothers Ultimate port, maybe with an extra DLC character. Maybe we'll finally get Waluigi. But I think that we'll also see some sort of thing. Maybe Xenoblade 3 will be ported, or we'll get a new Xenoblade early on. Nintendo kind of needs an RPG early on that isn't a Pokemon game, though I do believe that a Pokemon game will happen sometime within the first year and a half. And I think that the next Pokemon game that comes out, because of all the backlash from what happened with Scarlet and Violet, may have better teams working on it, and they may put out a better product that's not as laggy and not as buggy and not as kind of, you know, nauseating to play. When it comes down to it, I'm not sure who's going to have the best year of 2024. You know, it all depends on if a Switch 2 comes out and what comes out with it, or, you know, if PlayStation really knocks it out of the park with a bunch of exclusive games that they have. But 2024 looks like it could be a very solid year, though I don't know how good or how many high quality releases we'll get when compared to 2023. So I'm excited for 2024. There's a lot of games coming out this year that I'm very excited to play. But most of all, the most excited game I'm excited for is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and that comes out very soon. So I'll see you then, and let me know what you think. All right, Matt, here you go.
Perfect. So that was Mike's 2024 previews. I hope you guys enjoyed our episode this week. We will be back to a regular episode next time where we will talk about a game that we want to join us in our Hall of Fame. So that will be our next episode. Until then, I hope you guys all had a safe and happy new year, and glad you're tuning in with us for the year to come. Thank you so much.
From Mike and Matt, thank you for listening to the Hall of Fame Game Podcast. Check us out on Instagram at Hall of Fame Pod, or email us at thehalloffamepod@gmail.com. Please leave us a review and be sure to tune in next time.